Location, the lab. Quentin only has 24 hours to sell his car. Is that even possible? He goes to Carvana.com.
What is this, a movie trailer?
He ignores the doubters, enters his license plate. Wow, that's a great offer. The car is sold, but will Carvana pick it up in time for...
They'll literally pick it up tomorrow morning. Done with the dramatics?
Car selling in record time.
Save your time. Go to Carvana.com and sell your car today. Pickup fees may apply.
The Gilded Age had been a time of unparalleled wealth, but also one of deepening inequality. As the decades unfolded, a new breed of industrial titans emerged, their monopolies sprawling across industries like oil, steel, and railroads, growing ever more powerful with each passing year. They built their empires on the backs of the workers, the farmers, and the consumers who had no recourse against their control. The men who ruled these industries, Rockefeller, Carnegie, Morgan, and others, were untouchable giants, and their fortunes dwarfed those of even the wealthiest kings of Europe. For them, the rules of business seemed malleable, their monopolies justified by the doctrine of social Darwinism, which argued that they were simply the fittest to survive in the brutal world of capitalism. 1890 was a landslide, but as the 1880s drew to a close, cracks began to appear in the gilded armor of American capitalism. A growing chorus of voices began to question the unchecked power of big business. Workers, who had fought tirelessly for better wages and working conditions, could no longer ignore the realities of monopolies that crushed competition and kept prices high while wages stagnated. Farmers, who had seen their livelihoods drained by railroad tycoons, also felt the oppressive weight of monopolistic practices. They were being driven to the brink by the very system that had promised them prosperity. The idea that wealth would trickle down to the working class had proven to be a cruel myth, and people were starting to demand that something be done. The tipping point came in 1890, when Congress passed the Sherman Antitrust Act, the first real attempt to regulate monopolies in the United States. The law, named after Senator John Sherman, was intended to prevent business practices that restrained trade or created monopolies. The Sherman Antitrust Act represented a critical shift in the nation's economic landscape, signaling the beginning of a concerted effort by the federal government to curb corporate power. It was, in many ways, a response to the landslide of monopolistic practices that had swept across the country in the previous decades. The act was sweeping in its ambition. It declared that every contract, combination in the form of trust or otherwise, or conspiracy in restraint of trade or commerce, is declared to be illegal. For the first time, the government was directly confronting the monopolies that had come to dominate key industries.
Are you a financial advisor considering the independent registered investment advisor or RIA model and wondering where to start? Start with Schwab Advisor Services. Schwab has helped thousands evaluate the full range of options and can help you determine your best path forward. Navigate the big and small decisions by tapping into Schwab's decades worth of insights on what fuels RIA success. With Schwab Advisor Services, you have a custodian that will support you every step of the way. Start your journey today at advisorservices.schwab.com/paths.
It was a recognition that the economic system could no longer function under the unchecked rule of corporate giants who stifled competition, manipulated markets, and drove up prices. The hope was that the Sherman Antitrust Act would level the playing field, allowing smaller businesses to thrive and restoring competition to the marketplace. But the passage of the Sherman Antitrust Act was just the beginning of a long, drawn-out battle. While the law was groundbreaking, its enforcement was less clear. The language of the act was vague, and the courts were slow to embrace its spirit. In fact, many of the legal challenges to the law were unsuccessful in the early years. It would take decades for the Sherman Antitrust Act to be fully implemented, and even then, its impact was often limited by the influence of big business on both politics and the judiciary. Still, the law marked a significant moment in American history. It was the first indication that the government would no longer be passive in the face of corporate domination. It was a recognition that the interests of the many, the workers, the consumers, the farmers, needed to be protected from the excessive power of the few. It was a watershed moment, a direct response to the landslide of corporate consolidation that had swept across the nation. The act was a blow against the titans who had so long ruled unchecked, and while its full implementation was slow, it set the stage for future regulatory efforts. The Sherman Antitrust Act did not, of course, immediately end the power of monopolies. It did not bring an end to the era of corporate greed that had defined the Gilded Age. but it was the beginning of a new era, one in which the government would begin to take a more active role in regulating business practices. Over time, more and more laws would be passed to limit corporate power, and more progressive figures would emerge to push for reforms that would protect the rights of workers, consumers, and small businesses. One of the immediate effects of the Sherman Antitrust Act was the rise of public awareness about the dangers of monopolies. Journalists and activists, emboldened by the passage of the law, began to report more extensively on the practices of corporations like Standard Oil and U.S. Steel. These companies had become symbols of corporate excess, their monopolistic control over entire industries representing everything that was wrong with the capitalist system. The public, once indifferent or even supportive of the power of these industrial giants, began to see them for what they were: threats to the economic freedom of ordinary Americans. The act also fueled the growth of labor movements. The labor unions that had been gaining ground in the previous decades began to see new opportunities in the growing focus on corporate regulation. As monopolies came under scrutiny, workers felt emboldened to demand more from their employers, and strikes became a more common tool in the fight for better conditions and fairer wages. The period following the passage of the Sherman Antitrust Act saw a rise in the number and size of strikes across the country, as workers recognized that they were not fighting just for their own survival, but for a more just economic system. However, as with all reforms, the Sherman Antitrust Act faced fierce opposition from those who stood to lose from the regulation of big business. Many in the business community decried the law as an infringement on their property rights, and in the years following its passage, the courts struck down some of the earliest challenges brought under the act. The law was often used more to protect the interests of larger corporations than to challenge them. The political and economic elites who controlled much of the country's wealth worked tirelessly to preserve their power, using their influence to shape the interpretation of the law and prevent its more radical implications from taking hold. In the end, the Sherman Antitrust Act was a beginning, not an end. It laid the groundwork for future reforms, but it did not immediately resolve the tension between big business and the public. Yet it was the first shot across the bow of the corporate ships that ruled the waves of industry. The landslide of monopolistic consolidation might not have been reversed overnight, but the seeds for its eventual erosion had been sown. As we move toward the dawn of the 20th century, the promise of further reform looms on the horizon. In our next episode, we will explore the progressive era and the rise of leaders like Theodore Roosevelt, who would use the tools of government to battle corporate monopolies and push for sweeping reforms to protect the public and the environment. The progressive era. Theodore Roosevelt's Square Deal will reveal how America grappled with the legacy of corporate power and the increasing demand for fairness in an industrialized society.
Are you looking for legit ways to make extra money? Our friends at The Side Hustle Show have put together this cool free 60-second quiz to help you do just that. All you got to do is go to hustle.show. You can do it right from your phone. Answer a few short multiple choice questions, and it'll recommend a few episodes of the hit Side Hustle Show podcast to start with. You can add your personalized Side Hustle Show playlist to your device, learn what works, and start making more money today. Again, that's at hustle.show, or follow the award-winning Side Hustle Show in your favorite podcast app.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.